Welcome, everybody, to episode 358 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 26, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined once again by Malcolm Peralti. J-Trip is either on a plane or is on his way back, or he's gotten lost from Berlin and he can't find Wisconsin, wherever East Troy is.
You don't need him anymore. You got me. It's all good.
That's right. Malcolm, welcome back, buddy. Thanks a lot for subbing in again.
No worries. I can count on you. Yeah.
And actually, I told John yesterday, and he wanted me to say thank you on his behalf for subbing in for him.
Oh, much appreciated. I'm sure he and I will connect soon.
Indeed. Some quick housekeeping. In last week's episode, we had a discussion about CBD policies of WooCommerce. I encourage everybody to go check out the revised document. WooCommerce made some changes to their CBD policies. In fact, they even made an additional change. It might have been earlier this week, where they will allow CBD store owners to connect to WooCommerce.com in order to receive automatic updates for their extensions. And they will also provide support. So I'm not entirely sure what is restricted now, because some of the things that were big pain points before have now been addressed. But good on the WooCommerce team for jumping into this conversation. And and it's interesting how this all came about, because there is this a thread started by a CBD store owner on the very big WooCommerce Facebook group, and I got a lot of people talking. We ended up discovering that document had verbiage that was very unclear. You know, didn't really know what was going on, and the way the wording was, it sort of imposed limits on GPL software, which is a big no-no. It was very confusing on what the difference is between WooCommerce you get from WooCommerce.com versus the plugin directory. So there was that whole issue. So congrats to Paul for chiming in on Twitter and being part of the discussions. And it's some great progress that was made because of all that. And it's very nice to see examples of that are still possible, instead of everybody just yelling into a vacuum when no change happens.
Yeah, they probably should have prefaced their document saying, this is a living document that will see changes, because I think we all kind of quickly raised pitchforks without waiting to see, you know, how it would change over time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get into CBD or you're already involved in CBD sales, check out the revised documents just to be on the safe side. And in fact, in next month, in July, I have somebody booked for WordPress Weekly who is going to be on the show and inform us about what it's like in the CBD industry and what are some of the pain points they're experiencing with the laws and the payment processors, which I'm very much looking forward to that in July. That's going to be a great show. So with that out of the way, I want to introduce our awesome guest today. His name is Dan Mabey. He is the founder of WordPress and Up, or WP and Up, a nonprofit supporting and promoting positive mental health within the WordPress community. He's also a director at Blue 37, a London-based digital agency, and he thrives on business development and project management, as well as having a passion for productivity and marketing. He also helps organize WordPress-focused events, including WordPress London, WordPress Essex, WordPress Suffolk, and WordPress Liverpool. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us from across the pond today.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to come join you and have a chat with you.
Oh, man. Your audio sounds so good, by the way. You know, I remember back in the day, I did and this was back during Talk Show days, where we had to use a phone bridge, and I interviewed Yoast, and Yoast was, you know, he's across the pond from us, and man, we've come a long way since those days in audio quality.
we took this kit out to WordCamp Europe and did some podcasts at the event, and it's just fantastic to have this level of quality.
Speaking of WordCamp Europe, which just concluded this past weekend, did you have a good time?
We did, yes. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. One of the best camps I've been to date. Really enjoyed it. The team have done a phenomenal job bringing it together.
It seems like just when you think WordCamp EU can't improve, they one-up each other every year.
Yes, they do. I think there was about 2,700 attendees. Just a fantastic time to be with the community.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. This is your first appearance on the show. Why don't you tell us and our audience what your WordPress origin story? How did you get involved in the software project and community?
Yeah, sure. So I've been using WordPress for around, I think it's around 12, 13 years now. I think it was 1.5 5, I think, was my original.
Oh, those days.
Introduction. Yes, yes, those days. I mean, for me, it was at that time, it was a case of I needed to get my business that I had at that time, which wasn't kind of digitally related. I just needed to get it online. We'd tried a number of other open source platforms and came across WordPress. And as I say, never look back. It was a physical business that we just needed to have an online presence for. And I'd always had a passion for tinkering with digital. And I say WordPress just fitted our needs perfectly, even back then.
Now, speaking of businesses, you've had quite the entrepreneurial journey, which and some of those experiences have led to where you are today with your nonprofit. Tell us a bit, describe your entrepreneurial journey and essentially what culminated into the startup, your nonprofit, WordPress and Up.
Sure. It's been quite a varied background. Going way back, initially carpentry was actually my first industry, producing bits of furniture, shipping them out from the US, from the UK to the US.
And a job where you get to use your hands and you get to actually see and work with things that absolutely. I quite honestly, after working in WordPress and typing all these Word documents and posts for a number of years, when you actually get to physically build things and use your hands to do things, it is like, it's a very liberating experience.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's something that I regularly go back to, even today. And I don't have the skills that I had back then. But it's just something about taking a piece of wood and turning it into something. I really enjoy it. Very therapeutic for myself.
I can't join in on that conversation. I can't even put IKEA together properly. So I'll just, take these horrible coder hands and move on.
Thank God for directions that I don't read.
Yeah, it's. I think for me, there's definitely a combination of kind of the logical and the creative, and carpentry and WordPress are both similarly fulfill that need for me. I had a number of businesses, all very, very different. So from carpentry was the original business. We went on to run after school and holiday clubs for primary school children. Then we bought a pub. Then we evolved that into a mobile pub. So we were traveling the country, running events around festivals and so on. And then that evolved, the sale of that took me on to creating my digital agency. So there's no real connection between them, all very varied, and enjoyed every single one of them.
Well, as you run a business and you sell businesses, you go through highs and you go through lows. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has not been plain sailing by any way, shape or form. There have definitely been some great highs, but there have equally been some great lows. And the desire to develop a non-profit supporting individuals with mental health has been a seed that was sowed in my heart many years ago. I started supporting the WordPress community from an events perspective. So running the WordPress London meetup, about, I think it's around 7 odd years ago now. So having a lot of conversations within the community, discussing with people, both big and small business owners, and hearing similar stories, hearing similar experiences, and just realizing that actually this desire to do something around mental health was just something that we needed to bring to the community. And I just kept putting it back. It was, oh, I need to focus on myself, or I need to focus on my business, or I need to focus on my family. There was always something. But it was around, it was early 2017, that we just felt like this needs to become a thing. We need this in our community now.
Yeah, I'd say from what I noticed within the past 3 or 4 years is where I've really started to take notice of people, at least in the WordPress community, talking about mental health and talking about the trying to raise awareness, and that there's a stigma around it, and that there are so many figures that show that there are so many people that go untreated for mental health, or a lot of employers treat it as it's not really a thing, or it's some kind of other issue. So there's a lot of work trying to get it to be part of medical benefit packages, and trying to get companies to realize that this is a thing. And one of the people who actually just recently became a trustee on your nonprofit organization, Corey Miller, he's done a lot within the past 2 or 3 years with his iceberg talks and opening up about his entrepreneurial journey and his relationship status and how those things affected his mental health and well-being, and that sort of helped raise the awareness of this issue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was about his, I think it was Denver 2015, the WordCamp Denver 2015.
Yeah, that's the one. Gave.
It just had, it had a real profound impact on me. We'd already registered the name of WPNUP, the Twitter handle, the domain, as we do with these ideas. And it just sat there, but it was when I heard that talk from Corey, I thought, you know, this, we've just got to make this a reality. And it was, as I say, it was a couple of years after that, about 18 months actually after that, that I sat down with the team of what are now the trustees, and we said, look, what does this look like? How do we create something that works into a global community? Because it's quite a challenging project.
I know David is kind of excited to be on the show today because he says this is a topic right up his alley. And David, I know you've gone through some ups and downs within the past few years.
Yeah, sure. I definitely, you know, publicly state that I'm someone that suffers from depression and anxiety and go through extreme bouts of that. And I definitely think that, you know, working as a remote worker like myself and a lot of people in the WordPress space, I mean, there's that potential feeling or that self-imposed feeling of isolation. So it's, you know, I look at what WPNUP is doing and I go, why wasn't there an organization like that, you know, started in Canada? Why wasn't there an organization like that started in the States? Why did it have to take someone, you know, across the pond kind of thing? And so, you know, I really, you know, tip my hat, and I'm so excited to be here and listen to all this. I don't know how much I can really contribute to it other than to say that it's really meaningful to me that this exists. Mm.
Thank you. I mean, it really does touch the lives. The individual that's affected, there are going to be, often we know, we're going to know people that are impacted by mental health. It's such a prevalent issue. So actually being able to tackle this and start opening up, the community's been pretty good about talking about mental health, and collectively we've been relatively open about it. Having some conversations outside of the space, it's been quite interesting and to be honest, quite heartbreaking actually, listening to the way people have responded about the complete lack of discussion within their communities and within their work environments around mental health.
I mean, in your remote worker space, you've had these conversations, and we don't need to name any individuals, that doesn't matter, but what are some of the stories, the frontline stories you're hearing from people about what they're dealing with being a remote worker in this environment, in the WordPress space?
It's I can share a couple of the stats actually from the we through the month of May, the Mental Health Awareness Month, we launched the first WordPress community mental health and wellbeing survey. And we've closed that. We've now got the data coming through from it. We're seeing some quite shocking figures coming through out of the data that we have. We're seeing that 56% of respondents stated that they spend the majority of their time alone working, which isn't too much of a surprise. We are a community full of distributed team members, freelancers, solo business owners. But it was when we then look at that with some of these other stats, 47% stated that their work environment causes anxiety for them. There are things that we can do, I think, as a community to improve upon that and to help support a better environment for individuals. The really quite shocking one, and I just want to just make people aware, just to give a trigger warning here about talking about suicide. We had unfortunately 8% of all those responded have had suicidal thoughts in the last 12 months, which is actually twice the national average when we look at the US statistics. From a CDC report, we're seeing a 3.9% of individuals responded compared to our 8% from our community.
That's going to break one of those figures. You just stop and go, whoa.
Yes.
But again, you kind of have to take some of those figures, like the CDC figures, with a grain of salt, right? Like a lot of people would not necessarily feel comfortable self-disclosing that, right? So, absolutely. I mean, even your figures, there's probably a lot higher than that in reality. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And this is the challenge. I mean, we made the survey 100% anonymous. We didn't collect any data whatsoever. So we're trying as best we can to encourage people to be open with the tools that we have available to us. And but yes, of course, there are always going to be people that are never going to want to be completely open and honest about these sorts of things. And again, that's something that we can do a better job of within our community, encouraging people to talk, but actually educating individuals how to both have that conversation and how to respond to that conversation, because it can be a tricky thing to talk about sometimes. So there's a lot of work that we're trying to implement and bring into our community.
So speaking of WordPress and not the nonprofit community organization, what kind of services and information do you guys provide to those looking for help or looking to reach out to somebody?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we've in the process of developing our four health hubs. Over the last 18 months or so, we've been functioning as an unfunded non-profit. So everything that we've done has been undertaken completely by volunteers. Over that period, we've been delivering companionship and mentorship to individuals that have been reaching out to us. We launched a video, I think it was early 2017, and the video was only ever meant to be a kind of a hello community, let's have a conversation about this, but it actually created a situation where quite a lot of people were reaching out to us. So we formed a way of creating companionship so we could actually have something. Obviously we couldn't talk into mental health because we were unfunded. We didn't have the professional support that we now do have. But as we were having those conversations, we recognized that almost everybody fitted within one of our four health hubs. So we look at mental health, physical health, business health, and skills health. And we find that actually that's quite a rounded set of support services. And obviously within each, there are individual and separate services that are being developed and delivered.
So can you kind of expand on what those hubs entail? Some of the mm-hmm. be a little more detailed.
Yeah, sure. So going into the hubs, we look at the everything that we do is tailored to the individual. There is no one size fits all in this situation. So we have to have a conversation with the individual. We talk through their pain points, their challenges, get an understanding of what it is that they're facing, and we look at the best route for us to be able to deliver support. Quite a common scenario we see is an individual be a fantastic developer. They can write phenomenal code, create great product, but they've got absolutely no marketing skills, for example. So the fact that they're trying to run a business, they're running into financial difficulties, it's causing anxiety, depression, they're heading into a kind of a downward spiral because of these challenges. If we can look through that, we could say that actually if we can deliver some marketing training for that individual, then potentially that's going to help that individual out of or even prevent further issues from a mental health perspective. So we've got training, education, and support. The if an individual is coming through, we've got three levels. Effectively, we start at companionship. So these are not specifically mental health related. It's more about lone worker, solo individual, solo business owner, able to have a conversation with somebody. That kind of water cooler chat that we don't have when we're not in a traditional workspace. And just being able to have a companion to be able to turn to. And then we look at the mentorship, which is obviously a much more structured layer. So we are delivering training for our mentors, both mentorship training and mental health first aid training. So they have a level of understanding. But again, at this level, it's not specifically mental health. It's about preventative measures and how can we support our community. And then we've got our support layer, which includes or has the inclusion of mental health professionals. We're developing a platform at the moment with mental health practice managers that can oversee that have a kind of a helicopter view of the whole platform. So if there are red flags being raised throughout, then we do have support of mental health professionals.
Oh, that was your cue, Malcolm. My bad. he had a question for you.
No, it's funny because every time I write one down, you answer it just before I ask. I was going to ask if there were any kind of mental health experts on the team or kind of an extension of. I mean, I've wanted to kind of reach out and tackle this space a little bit more, but the pushback always is, well, what makes you the expert, right? Like, just because you've suffered through something or just because you can empathize doesn't necessarily make you the expert at helping someone else through it. So, I mean, how do you kind of deal with those kinds of pushbacks?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not a mental health professional. I just purely have, I'm going from my experience and wanting to develop something that we can deliver into our community. We're fortunate in that we do have individuals on our trustees board who do have a background and experience within the professional mental health services. And the way we're developing the system is that we have our board of trustees, we have a level of advisors and our staff team and volunteers. So the advisors kind of sit between trustee and staff / volunteers. So there's continual information back and forth. And we have access to mental health professionals at that advisor level as well. So it's not down to the individual having necessarily an understanding of mental health professional mental health expertise, but we do deliver mental health first aid training to individuals that are included. So at least there is a layer of understanding and being able to recognize the language that's used, ensure that trigger words aren't being used in conversations. So there's it's a difficult one, particularly when we say we're our global community and trying to deliver something into that community. We run into all sorts of issues when we look at cultural differences, for example, religious differences. It just gets very tricky.
It does. It does indeed. Yeah. And I've run against that even in my own research and understanding or conversations, right? You'll talk to someone kind of from a very different cultural background than you. And as much as they want to have that empathy and that connection, it can be very difficult, which kind of brings me to my next point, which is, you know, how does the current process go? So let's say I'm coming to you guys. I have to reach out to you, I'm assuming, to say, hey, look, I'm suffering through these issues. What's next after that?
Mm-hmm. So we'll schedule a call. So we offer ability to access via text, phone, or a video chat. So depending on what you are most comfortable, whatever form of communication you're most comfortable with, we will respect that and have a conversation and try and work through what the initial challenges are that you're facing. Often we'll find that the end result of the conversation is far, far removed from the initial concepts and the initial discussions. Once we've gone through that process, we then look at what is the most appropriate route to take. Do we look at partnering you with a mental health professional? Do we look at partnering you with a companion or a mentor? So we may be looking at delivering some business mentorship if the conversation has gone down the route that actually, you know, I've got this business, it's doing reasonably well, but I've got some anxiety, I've got some issues around the way it's running. I'm facing some challenges with staff and I don't really know how to cope with that, and it's causing a lot of problems within my company. So there's the routes that we take are very, very varied and really rely on dependent on how the conversation goes.
Now, I know that WPN Up is accepting donations as a nonprofit, sort of a charity type deal. What do the donations fund? Where does that money go?
So our biggest cost is staffing. So when we're talking about bringing on professional mental health professionals, it unfortunately comes at a cost and quite a sizable cost. We're in quite a fortunate place in terms of, from the UK, certainly UK's perspective, in that we have already found models that enable us to tap into existing networks of professionals that enable us to create remote access. This model enables us to go into other countries as well. It's not just UK exclusive, but of course that does come at a cost. We are trying to enable the services free to end user at this stage. We the last thing we want to do is have a conversation with somebody and they say, well, I'm really, really struggling with the business. It's causing a lot of depression. And then,
well, help you, but that's $9.99 a month.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Completely defeats the object. Yeah. So creating it free to end user is our goal. But we have to also accept that when we're talking about psychotherapists, psychologists, therapists, it does come at a cost. So as I said, the vast majority of that funding is where it's being spent right now, along with creating awareness. So we're doing quite a number of work camps at the moment, getting out and about and just exposing the fact that this service is available. We're scheduled in for, I think we've got, there's around half dozen work camps for the rest of this year.
And I know you mentioned the survey, which I tried to help promote when I found out about it on the Tavern. Any idea on when the results of that survey will be published?
So we actually have commissioned a white paper based off the information that we've received from that. That's going to take a bit of time. So we are... looking at end of July at this stage for the release of that, but that's please don't hold me to that date.
No, I won't. But that's going to contain some data that I believe you may have been one of the first kind of organizations trying to gather this type of information, trying to get a pulse on these issues and how they're affecting people in the WordPress community. So I'm very much looking forward to the data.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. Yeah. And there's been some interesting figures coming through, and they've certainly shifted some of our expectations. So we're excited to be able to get this out. All the data is going to be open sourced to the community, and we plan to do this year on year, so we can keep a bit of a eye on what's happening within our community.
And I hesitate going back on this on the topic of suicide, but you know, the numbers, the figures you raised, and I believe it may have been you or it may have been someone else that's part of the WP and Up community. We've had people pass away from the WordPress community, but not very many people have taken their own life. But I know that one person, I believe, in the WordPress London or the UK community ended up doing that. And I believe that was also one of the reasons why, you know, we got to try and raise awareness of these mental health and well-being issues. And if you have any information about who that was and their contributions to WordPress, I'd love for you to be able to share, you know, who that person was with our audience. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And their contributions to the community before, you know, that unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah, this one's a little bit of a difficult one. The individual concerned was somebody we knew, somebody who was part of our community, very active in the Genesis community particularly. He had actually come on board to lead the accessibility team for WordCamp London. I co-lead with Barbara Saul the WordCamp London currently, and he came on board. And unfortunately, as we mentioned, did take his life fairly early on in that process. So we decided to dedicate WordCamp London to him, and it was a difficult time, a very difficult time.
Yeah, and man, hopefully with this organization and the other services that are provided, we can help so many other people out there avoid that sort of conclusion that, you know, it's not the answer. It doesn't have to be the answer, that there are other ways. And there are a lot of people out there who are in the same position as you or in similar positions. And we want to help you, and we can get through this together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a lonely journey. It doesn't have to be lonely.
That's right, absolutely. And there are so many ways as a community we can promote this positive mental health. And as I say, we're pretty good. I mean, we've got a great community of meetups. We've got a great community of WordCamps and social isolation as a community of freelancers, distributed team members, small business owners can be a real issue. It is a real issue. So having these events, these meetups, these WordCamps and so on, where we bring people together are really a fantastic opportunity to be able to have that face-to-face human interaction, which can often be lacking. as great as these kinds of things, getting on a call like this is wonderful. It's still not that direct human interaction. It's wonderful that we're now seeing an acceptance of this, certainly in the WordCamp space. We had WordCamp EU. They had the wellness tracks going on, which were fantastic. Mindfulness, yoga. There was lots of real positive things to see in the community there.
Yeah, in fact, the wellness and the yoga and the WP Cafe was such a big hit at this year's WordCamp Europe that the team who are organizing WordCamp Porto or WordCamp EU, which will be held in Porto next year in Portugal, they're adapting these ideas and they're going to implement more yoga and wellness and well-being classes, mental health classes at WordCamp Europe. So that's pretty cool to see. And that's a large stage, you know, WordCamp EU.
Yeah, we found through the WordCamps, through the meetups in London, encouraging people to have a safe space to be able to talk about things. And you don't necessarily have to get on any kind of deep level. It's just a case of let's be a little bit more open and a little bit more honest about what's going on. Because, of course, when you turn up to these meetups, it's kind of counterintuitive to turn up and say, you know what, things aren't so good. You know what, business isn't so good this month. We kind of show up. We want to show up and say, yeah, things are fantastic. You know, business is doing great. I've got too many customers to deal with. You kind of want that front of I'm doing okay, but actually, you know what? Let's strip that back a little bit. Let's just be a bit more open and honest about what's actually going on. And we found it's been so positive within the London community being able to do that so far.
Yeah, I'd be that guy who shows up at a WordPress meetup and everyone's, hey, how's everyone doing? Quite frankly, my life sucks right now, and everybody just turns at me and oh boy, now we got to have a conversation. That'd be me.
But actually having that conversation, it just enables other people, and other people realize that often it's
and then you start realizing, oh, this person hasn't been having a good time, this person's been going through some things, all you needed was just somebody to open up, to crack that door open.
Exactly, absolutely. And if you know that there is a safe space, there is an environment where you know you're not going to be judged, you know you're not going to be, the things you're talking about aren't going to be shared publicly, then yeah, go for it, encourage it all the way.
When it comes to your own mental health, what kind of things help you? Like, what kind of personal things have you learned over this process that have been really beneficial to you?
It's been a long process, and it's definitely an ongoing process. Mindfulness, meditation, they've both been very, very positive for me. I use a couple of apps that monitor and encourage me to continue with that. Calm is one of the apps that I use on a daily basis. I suffer with inability to sleep. I go back to my pub owning days where I was averaging 4 hours a night, and I've kind of maintained that 4 hours a night every night. So it can be a bit of a challenge. So I found meditation is for me, it's a real good kind of reset in the moment. The physical exercise. I mean, the physical exercise has been a challenging one for me. I've always loved long distance running, but unfortunately, I injured my knee running the London Marathon a couple of years ago, and it's prevented me from running and doing what I enjoy doing. So we about 6 months ago, we got ourselves a dog, and that dog now forces me out. Three times a day, getting at least walking. We get a couple of hours a day walking.
You should have joined Marcel Bootsman and walked, you know, from his place 700 something kilometers over to Berlin.
That's right. He looked fantastic when he wouldn't have known he'd done it. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, massive hats off to him for what he's done for the Donate WC team as well. Absolutely brilliant.
And before we wrap it up here, how can people, others out there in the community, how can we help this foundation? How can we help your nonprofit?
So, I mean, unfortunately, unfortunately, because it does come down to money. Money is a big one for us. We do have some quite sizable funding goals, because we are talking about a service that does require quite expensive services to be purchased in. Funding is a big one for us. We want to develop strategic partnerships. We want to work with companies that have a similar ethos, have a similar goal. We've had Green Geeks and WPMU Dev come on board and have done a load of work supporting us financially. So a massive thank you to them. We've also had some really good conversations, both at WordCamp US and WordCamp EU with other companies as well in our space. And what we're really trying to do is just share the load, share the responsibility of this. Instead of putting all the financial responsibility on one company to support our community, let's get this out there and spread it across so we all have some shared responsibility.
I mean, I would like to see 30, 40, 50 different companies listed on your sponsors page, yeah, because that means every single one of them realizes how serious of an issue, how important this is to not just people in general, but to their employees as well. Mm-hmm. And it would also maybe even shine a spotlight on it. Maybe you're an employee of one of these companies and you're going through some issues and you don't want to talk to any of your employers, but you see that company on there. Maybe that tells you that, okay, maybe I can open up or maybe I can apply for services within my employment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've had that with the companies that we've worked with. So to date, we go into the companies and we talk about the services, we talk about what it is we're doing, and their team are able to access us, their team are able to access the services that are being delivered by WP and Up and have a direct access. So it's been beneficial on both sides there for the company. But it's also about supporting the customer base as well. If we look at some of the big hosts, yes, they've got big teams of staff, but they've also got their customer base are made up of the same individuals that we're talking about here.
Yes. So I don't know, Malcolm, any parting words here before we let Dan maybe off the hook?
How do we franchise this? How do we get it everywhere? I mean, it's hard, right? Like I can definitely see the passion in the project. The business side of me always worries that, you know, there's nonprofits are kind of viewed in a very specific way, especially in North America, mm-hmm. and, not always necessarily positive. And, you know, I really hope that you guys just continue to hustle. And, you know, if there's a white whale out there, if there's anything that I can do to help you guys, convince them or anyone that I can talk to that I know, please just reach out and let's get it going.
Awesome.
No, we've got five for the future for WordPress. We need five for WordPress and Up.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Funny you should mention that. we're actually talking about the concept of one for good, and that's 1% of revenue going into the nonprofit. So there's still some work to be done around that. We're looking at whether that's a responsible route, because obviously that could potentially be putting additional pressures on individuals. But we want to start delivering some business support and business mentorship again around individuals that have kind of joined that club, if you like. And,
and I guess if people want to learn more about this nonprofit, WordPress and Up, where can they go? And I believe there's also quite a few presentations that you've done that are also available on WordPress.tv.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a few of them out on WordPress.tv. We've got the website is wpandup.org. The name is never the easiest. We didn't really think about that. WP and Up UP. So we get many variations of that. But yeah, visit wpandup.org. Unfortunately, the site doesn't necessarily reflect where we are now. It's probably about 18 months ago. Mm. But that we're just going through a process now to redevelop and give that a complete refresh, because there's been so much great work that's been going on. And it just isn't reflected on the website there. But our contact page is a good place to head to, wpandup.org/contact. And just hit us up. We've got a live chat. We've got our Slack. We've got phone numbers. We've got various ways of contacting us. If individuals are looking to do so, we need individuals to come on board as volunteers, individuals to come on board to finance. So there's many, many ways to get involved. And we are very, very aware of everybody's time. It's something that we're very focused on, because the last thing we want to be doing as a charity is asking people to come on board and then put more time pressure on them, because again, it just completely defeats the point of what we're doing.
Well, Dan, you know, thank you very much for spearheading this this project, this nonprofit. Thank you to the trustees who have come on board to help you see this mission through, and thank you to all the companies out there who have made it a worthy cause, seen a worthy cause in this, and have donated funds to make this a reality. And for our listeners out there, if you're, I imagine quite a few of the listeners to this show are in the WordPress space, working in isolation, working remotely, maybe are going through a very rough time right now, whether it be mental health, well-being, how you're feeling, what you're thinking. This is a great place to reach out to people, to talk to somebody who may know exactly what you're going through, or at least, you know, can be that person that you can count on to talk to and work through your issues and get a little help getting over the hump if you're there right now. So Dan, thanks a lot for this project and all the best to you. And hopefully we get you on in about 6, 7, 8 months or so. And you're telling us that you've met all your funding goals and everything's just awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to it. I just want to thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity just to come and share and talk about WP and Up. It's been fun. Thank you very much.
It was our pleasure, man. And enjoy the rest of your, I'd say, evening, huh?
Evening. Yes. Yeah. It's about 9 o'clock.
All right. Take care, Dan. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That is Dan Mabey, the founder of WP and Up. And what a great sort of organization he's got going on over there in the UK. And I hope if you're able to, you take advantage of it, because there's, as far as I know, there's not many others like it. There might not be anything like it in the WordPress community, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any others in the WordPress community, and even in kind of the more wider public accessible stuff. I mean, most of it is, you know, for cost, right? So if you need that extra little helping hand and you don't necessarily have the finances to go see other professional services, this seems like a great opportunity for people.
All right. So we do have a couple of things that we have to get through in the news. And the first is the Matt Mullenweg summer update at WordCamp Europe, where he shared Gutenberg's progress and a preview of upcoming features. He highlighted a couple of different Gutenberg-powered websites from HumanMade. He talked about how some of the delegates for Congress, for government-type websites, 21 out of 24 of the current Democratic candidates for president are using WordPress. Whitehouse.gov actually recently switched from Drupal to WordPress. He also gave a preview of some upcoming features, such as, the Black system, creating a system to install new Blacks online, which would be tied into the planned Black directory. Mullenweg says that the Blacks could become a new top-level menu item in the WordPress admin with screens dedicated to Black discovery. He also showed off demos of the navigation Black that's in progress, a prototype for adding realistic motion to Black movement, an experimental footnotes Black, and a demo of resizing images with snap-to-grid capabilities. He also said that one of the goals for Gutenberg is to make it possible to create beautiful experiences, because that's part of what the web needs to win. And if you look at the Q&A, for someone like me who keeps an eye on this, it's usually the same questions as they were every year. People are asking about governance, about decision-making in core, about when are we going to switch from Track to GitHub or some other type of Git type of development strategy. Of course, he went through and answered those questions, but, you know, I'm looking forward to WordCamp US and sort of the state of the word. Now, I didn't really get any wow new type moments out of the update other than progress is being made. And, I think this year at WordCamp US, it officially be, will it be 1 year or will it be two since Gutenberg was, I mean, WordPress 5.0 was released last year in December, right? Yeah, I should know that.
It's so hard to keep track of releases.
I think this year will be 1 year officially with WordPress or Gutenberg in core. So I'm looking forward to what's shared during the state of the word. But there you go, a little bit of a summer update. And the video is available for free on YouTube. And also somebody commented on the Tavern article. They actually provided the link that goes right to the timestamp on the YouTube video where Matt begins his presentation. So thank you, Leonardo. That should make things easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's none of it was super amazing to me, but it is interesting to see the continued kind of advancement. I still am waiting kind of for Gutenberg to hit that like feature parity with, you know, page builders. I think that's really where it'll shine. And I know that it's always been like, oh, it's not really competing with page builders. But I mean, when you look at some of these blocks, I mean, it's competing with page builders and it's getting there very quickly. I mean, when the menu system is done and the widget system is done and it's all converted to blocks, it's going to be pretty slick.
And one of the questions that was brought up, one of the more interesting questions, was asking Matt Mullally, what are the future of themes? And he basically said he doesn't know. He thinks that there's going to be some decoupling that happens with WordPress, but he's waiting to see. He thinks the market will figure it out. And we've seen this question. I've seen this question brought up on Twitter, and a lot of people feel that themes will just end up becoming a collection of blocks or block templates or styles for blocks, and the line will be blurred even more between the separation of a plugin and a theme. That themes are kind of going more towards the plugin route. So I don't know what the future of themes are, but I think it's a lot simpler than what they have been in the past.
I think it's kind of funny that Matt put it that way. It's a little disingenuous because you're talking about someone who's planning like Gutenberg over the next 10 years, saying that, oh, I don't know what's going to happen and the market will decide. And yet he's got a 10-year plan for Gutenberg. So, I mean, he has an idea of what way things are going to swing. Don't let him convince you otherwise.
And I think what a lot of people are experimenting with lately is headless WordPress and experimenting that way.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
If the WordPress API ever gets finished, that is one of the things that I'm most looking forward to is actually completely decoupling, you know, WordPress from WordPress, really. Like being able to create content, view content, all that stuff, and just use WordPress kind of as a data storage system. Or like role management system. I'm looking forward to that, but the API is not done yet. So,
you know, it's interesting you mentioned the REST API because it was mentioned by Matt, and Mulloway says that the REST API, despite its broad support and noteworthy contributors, has held Gutenberg back. He said that it still does not have the demonstrated use that its advocates predicted when working to get it merged into core, and cautioned that WordPress should always use an API first before shipping it to the world. And if we and John James Jacoby has mentioned this, and other people have mentioned this, that you know we finally end up getting the REST API in core, and now everything is GraphQL based. You know, GraphQL is the thing that I guess should have got merged into WordPress.
That's the problem with any kind of technology project, right? As soon as
by the time you merge it in or something else,
you got to redevelop it.
there's a new event coming. Well, actually, it's not really a new event, but it's going to be free. But it's the Post Status Live. Post Status will be live streaming the Publish Online Conference on July 8th and 9th, 2019. The event is geared towards WordPress professionals, and it's been traditionally been limited to the Post Status Club members. But this year, Brian Krausgaard is opening up the live stream for anyone to watch for free. So the conference will feature 14 presentations from community leaders who are deeply invested in the WordPress ecosystem. Talks will be centered around core processes and vision, along with business topics. And actually, Matt Mulloway is going to be one of the speakers on here as well. If you want to watch the event for free, you'll need to register for the event. We'll have links to these stories in the show notes. And access to the live stream will be available at poststatus.com/live. And if you sign up to be a member, you'll be able to access all the recordings, transcripts, and audio after the event has concluded. So props to Brian out there for making that free. It makes it accessible to a lot more people.
I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Are you a member of PostStatus or no?
No, I spent the money. I was a member for 2 years, and then I just... you know, as a chunk of change that I wasn't willing to part with. I've thought about kind of going back to it now that I've paid off a couple different loans and I'm not paying credit card bills and stuff like I used to. I'm thinking about giving Brian some more of my money, but lately I haven't pulled the trigger. But I did enjoy the PostStatus notes that he would email a couple times during the week. I enjoyed those.
One of the things that recently changed is the pricing for PostStatus for companies has recently changed. So they've created a system where organizations of different levels can get PostStatus for all of their staff for a reasonably low price, to be honest. Maybe you can nudge Matt and get in on the automatic side or something. I don't know, but it's a really great deal for companies. The price breaks are amazing. I think it's like if you have a staff of like 1,000 people or whatever, it's only like $3,000 a year. So like $3 per year per staff member, that's nothing. So the information that you get from the email is super nice, super well put together, and worthwhile, especially at those kinds of prices.
And one of the best values, one of the biggest perks of the PostStatus membership is the Slack channel, because a lot of high visible, high profile people within the WordPress community are in that Slack channel. And it's like the who's who of WordPress is in that channel. And there's quite a few interesting discussions that take place.
Yeah,
and that's one thing I miss about my membership is being in that Slack channel.
one of the stories that we're going to talk about later, some clarification was actually posted in post status and not publicly. So I've gotten some like inside scoop stuff that hasn't been posted up publicly, and it was mostly to calm and alleviate fears. So when we get there, I'll bring up a bit more about that.
All right. So really quickly, if you visit your WordPress.org user profile, you'll see a new tab. It's called Contribution. And this has a couple of new fields where you can add whether you're sponsored or not by a company to contribute to WordPress. There's a section there where you can add how many different hours per week that you contribute to WordPress. And there's a list of teams. So you can add which teams you contribute as well. Andrew Middleton describes these fields as a step towards a possible version one of the Five for the Future program that was outlined last year. And she says, quote, I think it will also help with transparency and might facilitate how teams set internal expectations for how much time different contributors might have to spend on a project or ongoing task, end quote. And in addition to these fields, if you visit the official WordPress jobs board, there is also a new contributor position. The goal is to make it easier for companies to find and hire people interested in becoming sponsored contributors. Now, this is the first iteration. It's open for comments. One question I had is whether or not it makes sense to provide a text field where users can name the company that is sponsoring them. Because I feel like, you know, if you visit that profile and that person is sponsored, the logical next question is, okay, who's sponsoring you? And I think it just makes complete sense to put the two together, because at one point you're going to want to know. So that might come at a future iteration. And of course, when you start naming companies, well, we'll be able to maybe more easily see which ones are contributing, or at least paying people to contribute back to WordPress. So I don't know, kind of an interesting development there on user profiles.
How often do you update your WordPress.org user profile?
Not very often.
I would probably
I thought about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool idea. I want to see the WordPress.org profile be extended, because when I do apply for jobs, it is one thing that does come up. Hey, if you have a profile, send us the link. We want to see it, right? They want to see it.
Yeah, because the profile actually lists contributions, pull requests, support requests. It lists quite a bit of your contributions throughout the WordPress ecosystem is right there on your profile page.
Yeah, and so I can definitely see some of the value in it. I just like to see it extended, and this is a great first step on that. I just think the flip side of that is eventually they're going to have to work on potentially, let's say, some integrations would be nice. Like, how great would it be if it integrated with Harvest or other like time management services, so that, you know, each month or whatever, it automatically added in the hours that you donated to the project. I don't know. Like, there's opportunities here, right? To kind of grow this out and make it even more important.
Yeah. So not only would you be able to highlight the teams that you're working with or contributing to, but specific chunks of time devoted to specific projects.
Yeah. How cool would that be if you could see like someone spent like 700 hours on documentation? You can go, holy smokes, like that person, they must know documentation inside and out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see. Hopefully it expands in the future. Now, the last story, and this was a big one, happened on Monday. And this actually caught some people by surprise, caught me by surprise. But WP Engine announced that it has reached a definitive agreement to acquire managed WordPress host Flywheel. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed. However, Heather Bruner, WP Engine CEO, confirmed to TechCrunch that the company needed to raise a small round of funding to finance the deal. Now, Flywheel Hosting was founded in 2012 in Omaha, Nebraska by Dusty Davison, Tony Nowacker, and Rick Knudsen back in 2012. There were a couple of players. In fact, there were many players in the managed WordPress hosting space even back in 2012. But Flywheel was able to carve out a niche focusing on designers and agencies. And I remember I had Dusty on the show back. In fact, I took a break from WordPress Weekly. When I came back, he was the first guest on the show. And unfortunately, if you go back and look for it on WordPress Weekly, the MP3 is not there. I'm going to have to fix that, because that's a bit of cool history. But I remember talking about and learning about Flywheel, and that at the time it was pretty difficult to work on a client's site. And then when you get to that point where you want to hand it off, there are all these logins and license keys and all these other things that were involved with handing a site off to a client. Well, Flywheel developed a system where the client could actually like pay for the hosting and everything and have it all taken care of. So it was all in one place. And then when the designer was done and was ready to hand it over, it was just like easy as flip of a switch. And a lot of people really enjoyed this, agencies and developers. And over the years, Flywheel has garnered a awesome reputation with a lot of customers, a lot of loyal, happy customers on their focus on designers and agencies, and of course the performance and the support, which was kind of interesting to see the responses from those customers. And that many of them expressed concerns, not too happy about this announcement. And I saw a lot of customers responding to the announcement as, you know, I picked Flywheel over WP Engine because this is what you offered. Now I'm, you know, second guessing these things. And of course, Dusty Davidson and the people at WP Engine are pretty much responding to these concerns as, look, we both have aligned visions for where we want to go, and we're going to work together, and this is going to be even better than it was before. And as I said on Twitter the other day, that's a statement and a promise. Only time will tell if things get better. And eventually, when the two companies and the customer bases are integrated somehow, some way, things are going to change. There's going to be things that are going to be different. And, you know, it's going to be up to the customers to decide whether that's for the good or for the bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do, you know, when they merge these companies together, they're going to have to create efficiencies, right? There's people that have duplicate positions within the organizations. There's different software being used between the organizations. There's different workflows that are going to have to be optimized, and all of these changes are going to affect.
There's even different software that creates local WordPress environments. You've got Local by Flywheel, and now you have WP Engine DevKit.
Yeah, exactly. And people have kind of staked their claim, right? They've done the learning curve to figure these things out, and they're not excited about relearning something new or a hybrid of the two or whatever that looks like. And a lot of the complaints were related to kind of the low cost for entry on Flywheel versus WP Engine. Mm-hmm. The lowest plan on Flywheel is cheaper than the lowest plan on WP Engine. And people were worried that, you know, their price was going to go up and they were going to get the same kind of service, or that they were going to be switched over to WP Engine's plans. The response has been basically things are going to stay the same for now, for the foreseeable future, right? Like this intangible, like someday it may change. It's going to change. We just don't know when and what that change is going to look like. A lot of the stuff I'm seeing, like I said, internally in conversations from the executive team at Flywheel is they're like, look, we've been told like it's going to be, you know, probably a year or more to transition all this stuff, you know, just kind of relax, see what we do over the next year and decide kind of when your next renewal is up or whatever, if you're paying yearly, whether or not we've met your needs or met your expectations.
Yeah, and speaking of WP Engine, tomorrow it marks the one-year anniversary since they acquired StudioPress. Brian Garner and StudioPress. So
yeah, where's StudioPress hosting these days? They canceled StudioPress hosting. That's right. They got rid of it. Yeah, and I think that fed into a lot of the Flywheel fears, to be honest.
Yeah, so there's that. But if you look at WP Engine now, they keep raising money. Now they've acquired Flywheel. They've acquired StudioPress. They've acquired a few other people. I think they've just recently announced a partnership with HubScout. So if you look at all these various facets of WP Engine with StudioPress and what have you, and they've even done a lot of work sort of doing work with Gutenberg. And I think they also acquired like Coblox or by Rich Tabor. I think they acquired a different theme company as well. But you look at these value plays for WP Engine, and they can create a pretty sweet WordPress-specific package. And now they call themselves a digital experience platform, and there is a lot of talk on Twitter. And to me, I guess that term has been in the enterprise space for forever. I'm not in the enterprise space. I think the enterprise space enterprise equals boring, you know, but that's just my perspective.
I would disagree just for everyone's notes.
But digital platform experience, what does that mean? Well, based on what I've read, my interpretation is a highly customized, group of components, software, in this case, WordPress, software as a service, all tied in to cater to a specialized audience. I don't know. Is that close to what that is, Dave? Maybe you could help me out here.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably pretty close. I mean, this whole thing, though, to me, it smells reactionary, right? You have a lot of other big companies, GoDaddy's a great example, mm-hmm. who are running around acquiring anyone in the WordPress space that is willing to sell to them. And so you're going to see these other big players like WP Engine and others start to buy out whatever they can, right? It's a race to see who can kind of have the best talent and the best software to basically meet the needs of more than a third of the internet.
Okay, so I stand corrected. GoDaddy is the one who acquired Coblox, ThemeBeans, and Black Gallery by Rich.
Yeah, and GoDaddy grabbed Managed WP as well, and you know,
Security.
Right.
Yes, I think maybe they did acquire Security. There's so many. I can't even keep track of all these acquisitions that hosts have made in the WordPress space. So my apologies out there. I should be better at that. But Flywheel. So one of the things I was thinking about is, first of all, it's got to be awesome as founders of a company to see the type of reaction, even though it appears negative, but to see the reaction from your customers about how they just absolutely loved what you created. They loved your product. They love what you were offering. They love the price. They love the support. They love everything about what you created. So on the one hand, it's got to be like giving you that strange, cool feeling inside, that tickly feeling. But on the other side, so many people were just flat out worried and concerned and like, this is the end. And, oh, WP Engine, well, guess what? I'm automatically leaving, finding a different host to go to. So if you're Dusty Davidson or one of the people who – have this vision, who have talked this through with the people at WP Engine who have acquired you, and you can see past what the customers don't. If you're in Dusty's shoes, how do you just coax your customers? How do you get people to believe that, look, it's going to be better on the other side? Just give us a chance.
Well, honestly, you do two things. I mean, this isn't a really hard proposition. It's just something that they've already kind of failed at. One, you and your team or whoever, right? You do kind of the Gary Vaynerchuk experience. You go through every bloody message, every tweet, every email, and you actually write them a custom response, and you understand and validate their opinions. Because guess what? They're the ones paying the bills, and they're the ones probably going to leave if you don't. And number two, you make a deal up front. You tell them that they're safe for the next 2 years or 3 years. You tell them that their pricing's not going to change. You give them something to latch on to that makes them feel secure, because validation and security is really all we want from a good company, especially if we're emotionally attached or have emotional resonance about a company. We want that value. We want that security. So I think they're not doing enough of that right now.
Yeah. And if you monitored the Twitter responses to Flywheel, many of them were like, look, there's no need to stress. There's no need to stress. Nothing's changing. It was a lot of the same responses to many different people out there. So, yeah, I agree. You know, I would like a company to come out and say, look, we want to value, you know, we love every customer who has helped us get to this point, and here's why we believe we're going to be even better in the future with this company. And here is what's not changing. Here's what you can expect within the next year or two. And then just everybody calm down and let's see what happens, you know, and time will tell. But yeah, I guess they definitely got the part where you're talking about in the future and building together and all that other marketing speak that you see with two companies that are in love with each other. And that's why they got acquired. But I guess maybe it would have been nice to see, you know, maybe I guess more of a recognition of all the people who, you know, got them this far, maybe more just like you said, you know, just calming people down, saying, look, you know, we've got 2 years, don't worry about it, and just stick with us. You know, we'll let you know what's going to happen, which yeah. They have said they're going to do. But
yeah, but again, they're using very generic marketing terms, like you mentioned, right? It's very like copy-paste to 1,000 different people tweeting them, and that's not going to alleviate fears. That's not going to calm people. It's not going to make people excited.
And I saw people responding that Flywheel was such a gem in this hosting space. It was different. It was small. It had that startup, you know, feeling to it with the support and the personalized responses. And now it's just one less thing, one less competitor in the hosting space. And I saw a lot of people bringing up, you know, that talking point as well. So I don't know how much you followed Flywheel Hosting, but were you surprised by this acquisition?
Super surprised. When I read it, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, wait, what? Why did they do that? Like, it made me like question, like, maybe their cheapest plan was too cheap and they were losing money on it. Maybe they had too much tech support people because of the people that they were trying to attract to their company. I don't know exactly what the reason was for basically letting themselves be acquired. But it definitely brings questions and doubt into how stable they were, how good they were, right? Like, were they just kind of holding on until they got some funding or an acquisition? I don't know. Lots of interesting questions, but completely shocking, hit me, like blindsided me hard. And I just shook my head because I really thought that they were in a good place to compete against WP Engine.
If you read the article about this acquisition on TechCrunch, they talk about the revenue, the numbers, Flywheel, and some of the acquisitions that WP Engine has. They sort of suggest that WP Engine is putting themselves. In fact, WP Engine actually said it themselves that they're trying to position themselves to go public. That they're looking to go public eventually. So I think we'll see WP Engine go public before Automatic.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, at this rate, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. That's the big news of the day, of the week so far. Malcolm, unless you got anything else, I guess we should wrap it up. Nope. Oh, you're shaking his head at me. Nope. All right. I'm good. So you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you could follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F. Are zero. And let's see, next week we will have a show, July 3rd. We're going to interview Jill Binder, who has been doing a lot of work with inclusivity, diversity training within WordPress. In fact, there's a couple big announcements that were announced right around the time of WordCamp EU. So we're going to talk to her next week about what she's working on and how people can get involved with that. And then we'll also get a recap of WordCamp EU from John James Jacoby. So he'll tell us what Berlin was like and what the event was like, and I'm looking forward to that. And Malcolm, where could people find you, Mr. Press Titan?
Yeah, so PressTitan.com is the work site. Peralti.com is my personal site, and at Find Purpose on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy Hump Day. Enjoy. Have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, everybody. No. Say bye, John. No. Say bye, Malcolm.
Goodbye.